Joined now by Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website, and go there to get some of the latest numbers. He joins us now on the phone. Tom, how's it going?
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So let's start with the Comey testimony and Donald Trump. And actually, let's just start with Donald Trump in general. Obviously, no surveys since James Comey's testimony, which was just a couple of hours ago. But where generally do the American people stand on Donald Trump right now?
Well, he's definitely hitting record low approval numbers. His average approval rating in the polls is now down to 38%. And that's the first time it's gone below 40. He, you know, obviously had never been that popular, but he was at least maintaining a poll average in the low 40s, and that's now dipped into the upper 30s. There was a Quinnipiac poll yesterday that came out with him having a 34% approval rating, 57% disapproval, and I think that's the lowest approval rating he's had in any individual survey since he took office. And one thing that's particularly interesting is a lot of these polls ask, do you strongly approve, somewhat disapprove, or strongly disapprove? And his overall approval number is dropping, but what's really dropping is his strongly approve number. And a lot of these polls, the number of people who say that they actually strongly approve of him is down to 20, 25%, that kind of level. I think what that shows is that he does have more room to drop. There had been some thought that there was only so low he could go because his people are so loyal. But you have even a lot of Republican voters now sort of moving from saying they strongly approve of Trump to now saying they only somewhat approve of Trump. And I think that means that as more stuff comes out, there is the possibility for his approval numbers to get down to the low 30s.
Is that starting to cut into his base, his supporters in 2016?
Yeah, it definitely is. Whereas before, say, 90% of Trump voters said that they approved of him, you're now on a lot of these polls getting it down to more like 80 or 85% of Trump voters approve the job he's doing. So they're still mostly with him, but we are starting to see some slippage there. And of course, he's not able to win over really anybody who didn't vote for him in November. His approval rating among people who voted for Hillary Clinton or voted for one of the third party candidates is in very low single digits. So it is kind of a situation where he has nowhere to go but down. Because really the only people I think who are going to have much inclination to be willing to change their minds about him are people who I would say voted for him with reservations. And there's plenty of stuff that's happened in his first 4.5 months in office that has sort of confirmed those reservations that people might have had.
So what's the driver there? Is it, I mean, we're talking about James Comey today and the whole Russia scandal and that investigation. Is it that? Is it the fact that Congress hasn't passed a health care thing? Is it the fact that people don't like the healthcare thing he is pushing for? Is it something else? Do we know?
Well, healthcare was definitely the first punch when the House passed their healthcare bill in late April. We started to see Trump's numbers, which had gone back up after a period of, I guess, calm as measured on the curve. His approval numbers had gone back up, but healthcare started them to go back down. And then I think that the Russia stuff has caused them to go down further because voters really don't have a lot of ambiguity about what they think went on with James Comey's firing and what they think went on with Russia. About 70% of voters say, yeah, Trump fired Comey because he wanted to make the Russia investigation go away. And then there's increasingly large numbers of voters who say, yes, we do think that Russia interfered in the election to try to help Donald Trump. So he really hasn't been able to sort of turn the news cycle over to anything except these two stories that are pretty damaging for him. He had that overseas trip where things sort of seemed calmer for a little while, and then, you know, he returned to the country to the Comey and Russia stuff getting hotter than it's ever been before. So we're doing a national poll this weekend, and it'll be interesting to see what the ramification of all this kind of stuff that's happened the last few days is. But certainly Trump's numbers have not been headed in the right direction.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is the website if you want more numbers. We're talking about this at the very beginning of Trump's presidency, where he was not getting the honeymoon in his approval ratings that you typically see from a president in the first couple of months, at least, before the numbers tend to go back down. I really saw this at the very beginning of Barack Obama's presidency back in 2009, and then numbers ended up settling in the kind of mid-40s for approval ratings for him, and then it went up a little bit, down a little bit, very gradually came up until they were slightly above 50% right there at the very end of his presidency, but otherwise, pretty much all the way through, they were sort of hovering around the mid-40s, up or down, give or take a few points, and Donald Trump is seeing a little bit of a similar thing in terms of his numbers being a little bit further down, around maybe 40, but now getting down into the low 30s. But we haven't seen a president that is popular across party lines for a very long time. We're going on close to 10 years since we've seen that, and go back to the Bush administration, obviously not really since the early part of his presidency. So is this more of a new normal that we're looking at here, where it's just going to be very, very rare for a president ever at any point to cross party lines in terms of approval rating, and we end up seeing kind of what we're seeing now with Donald Trump, where 40% of the country is in favor of him, the other 40% wants to impeach him, and then there's 20% in the middle?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but if we see a president with a 60% approval rating anytime in the future, I think it's going to mean something really bad happened, because I think the only way that we're going to unify around a president with the level of partisanship we have now, where you would get to 60% approvals if we were at war or if we had a terrorist attack or something like that. And, you know, what you're describing with the presidents, we're sort of seeing that with all elected officials now. It's very difficult for a Democrat to be popular with Republicans at any level of government. It's very difficult for a Republican to be popular with Democrats at any level of government. We did a poll this week on the mayoral race of a town in Maryland that's basically the same size as Chapel Hill, and they have a Republican mayor, and we polled on his approval, and it turned out that Democrats in this city liked him, and I saw that, and I was like, wow, I can't think the last time we did a poll anywhere where we found that voters said that they liked a politician across party lines. It just doesn't happen anymore. I've been in this job for 10 years, and I remember in like 2008 or 2009 being like, wow, it's really impossible for Democrats to like a Republican politician. It's really impossible for Republicans to like a Democratic politician. I can only make a list of like 13 people we've seen recently in our polling who are liked across party lines. And you know, now it's like if I see 13 politicians in a year who are liked across party lines, I'm pretty surprised.
Are there any really now that you can think of other than the few kind of local candidates? Are there any on like a state level or a national level?
No, I really don't think so. I mean, I bet Mayor Pam and Mayor Lydia are respected by the Republican voters in our communities in Southern Orange County, but I think that's about as high up as you're going to find for somebody who voters really do like and respect across party lines. I mean, one thing that's sort of interesting is the Republican senator who is the most liked by Democrats actually still is John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain is also the Republican senator who is least liked by Republicans. So that's sort of a trend we see, too, is if you've behaved in any sort of an independent manner that might make a larger than normal percentage of voters like you across party lines, then you also end up paying a price for that with the voters within your own party. So, you know, somebody like McCain, who's ever so slightly more independent than average, any gain he's had with Democrats because of that, he's gotten more unpopular with Republicans because of that.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is the PPP website. Go there and get more information. Let's bring it down to a state level now, because the General Assembly is considering now a bill, HB 746, I think it is. I don't have the piece of paper in front of me right now, but that's the bill that would allow, among other things, residents 18 and over to carry concealed weapons without a permit and without any required training. This is a controversial bill. just passed the House today, but in a kind of a closer vote than we ordinarily see. It goes on to the Senate and then potentially to the desk of Governor Cooper. But I know Public Policy Polling did a survey on the gun issue in North Carolina recently. What did you find?
Well, this bill is just incredibly unpopular. I mean, one thing that it does is make it so you don't have to have a permit to carry a concealed handgun in public anymore. 82% of voters think we should still have that requirement to have a permit to carry a concealed handgun. Only 15% are opposed to it. We asked if people should have to have a permit to purchase a handgun in the first place. 90% of voters say yes to this. Only 9% say no. We asked if people think firearms should be allowed on college campuses. Only 22% said yes, 70% said no. So this is something, at least on the public opinion front, where we sort of just see common sense agreement across party lines that this is a really bad idea. And as you noted, there were actually, on the various different votes that were cast on this bill, anywhere between 5 and 8 Republicans voted against this bill, joining all the Democrats. So I remember one thing I feel like we discussed a fair amount last year was that the best that Democrats could hope for, because the legislative lines are so gerrymandered, was that you could get a Democratic governor in there and at least get enough Democrats in there that if the Democratic governor wanted to veto something, the legislature wouldn't be able to override the veto. This is going to be the first time since Roy Cooper took office, I assume, that he will veto this bill. And even though Democrats don't have enough votes on their own to sustain the veto, with those 5 to 8 Republicans added to the Democrats in the House, this is going to be the first thing that Democrats are actually able to stop not having to use the court system that the majority of the Republicans in the legislature have wanted to do.
And speaking of the court system, obviously we're talking about gerrymandering this week with the U.S. Supreme Court. I know this wasn't on that survey that you just did, but where do voters stand with regard to the gerrymandering issue and what we should do about it?
Well, about 60% of North Carolinians want an independent commission to do redistricting. Only 10% are opposed to that. So it's definitely something that North Carolinians would like to see taken out of the legislators' hands. And it's an interesting situation where we find that even Republican voters, even though the gerrymandering in North Carolina has been very much to their benefit, they support an independent commission for redistricting too, because they see it as sort of a basic issue of fairness. So certainly a disconnect between Republican voters and Republicans in the legislature on the issue, but we really do see a strong bipartisan consensus for some reform that sort of hands that power back to the people and takes it out of the politicians sort of doing their own bidding.
Head to publicpolicypolling.com to get more numbers from North Carolina and around the country. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.